Right now, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, politics, sports, you name it, business. He brings many years of experience to those topics and more. Good morning, Mr. Many Years of Experience.
And good morning to you, young fellow. How are you doing?
We're doing just fine here in Sharon, Connecticut.
How is your internship working, Marshall? Are you getting good reviews? Or
my internship?
Oh, I thought you had an insert.
Oh,
internship. Okay.
No, my problem, if I were to become an intern, I wouldn't pay attention to anything.
Oh, I see.
You know,
so,
Jim,
they got ahead of you on this one.
Yeah, I'm 67.
They made you a boss.
You know,
go ahead.
It's like, you know, when the presidential election comes up, when we've got Joe Biden and we have Bernie Sanders and we have Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, or, you know, once you pass the 65 mark, it's balls to the wall, as my flight instructor used to say. You just go along. You're not changeable at that point. You are who you are.
Well, I'm not so certain about you, Marshall. You're a very young 65.
I think that's an excuse. I think that's absolute nonsense, but that's all right.
Well,
it's Marshall, so it must be so.
Marshall
did inform me, and I was absolutely stunned to find out. But there are some things that I should have definitely known. So I'm not saying that he's wrong. I'm just saying that I should have known it, perhaps. But he once informed me that you get past a certain age and you become more conservative. I was like, really? And so
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that's very true. Yes.
I think you get
more considerate because you've got more knowledge, and you've got more sense.
And you also don't care
people's problems.
Did you say considerate or conservative?
Both. Considerate.
I'm not talking about considerate. I said conservative.
Yeah, everybody that I know of gets older, have gotten a little. It might be, it's not total conservative, but they've gotten more conservative than the thing.
I just wondered what you were agreeing with. Are you agreeing, Jim, are you agreeing that as people get older, they become more conservative? And are you killing something in the background?
This is the Jim. Jim says no. Jim has gotten more liberal since he's gotten older.
Yeah.
Well, I've gotten a little more conservative, but I don't care what people think.
But that doesn't mean different. What my base was. I probably didn't know anything.
Right.
I was about 40.
But and the great thing about getting older is you really don't care what other people say about you.
Right.
No,
I
have become.
Well, you can't. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, for me, I just it's I in my I have become I have embraced my inner eccentric. Everyone always knew I was weird, but now it's fun. Now they're used to it.
Well, that's right, and you don't give a damn about it.
Well, I didn't then.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
All right. Anyway, that's not why we're
okay.
Here.
So we're all set now. Let's go out in the woods and build ourselves a dam.
Okay. Good idea.
Now, let's get to insurance. My understanding is they gave you a discount on your insurance, which translated into these six-month billings. Technically speaking, I don't know anything more than I just said to you other than those two facts, okay?
My $27 is not worth not being able to get a year's worth of insurance, in my view, just in case anyone cares.
Why don't you take it and go wild?
I did. Do you know I got one fraction of one dog walk for Marshall out of that?
That's right.
$27. Woohoo!
Well, anyways.
Hey, look, you know, life is good. Life is good.
That's exactly right.
Now, add a few zeros and I could have done some damage.
Well.
No pun intended. All right, so I was just curious about that, but it actually leads into something I specifically wanted to ask you. And Marshall's already looking at me.
Watch out, Jim. Here comes a question.
Is it a curve?
For me, it's straight up the middle. I am watching with interest the number of people who have had useless structures pre-pandemic that are using the pandemic as an excuse for why their ridiculous propositions are failing. That's what I wanted to ask you about.
Okay. Well, do you have anything specific to say?
No, I don't want to hurt. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I just
make something specific. You won't hurt somebody's feelings.
Retail? Did you?
You won't hurt mine either. Yeah. I've been bruised and battered. Go ahead.
Just different sectors. Let's say that there are certain stores that are going into bankruptcy, and they're saying, "Ooh!" Now, of course, there are other stores who kind of reconfigured, Macy's being one of them, which was in the toilet and is now, they figured out what to do during the pandemic, so they're doing well. But I think you've got you have Neiman going into bankruptcy, restructuring, because the regular money on the surface hasn't been pouring in, except that practically speaking, their models were a little bit moldy, for a good period of time before that. Or it came up during our show Films in Focus with David Sterrett, because it was a big announcement. AMC, massive movie chain, theater chain, in terrible trouble. And he pointed out that they have been in terrible trouble, over-leveraged and underfunded, for lack of a better word, for 2 years.
So what's the damn question?
The question is how many people are blaming the pandemic, because they certainly are.
I think there's a lot of people that blame the pandemic, but I think that, Jim, and you can go along with this, I think that those companies that were over-leveraged and were in trouble anyways now face the point of, okay, they can't even carry on because of the pandemic, because they can no longer carry the wood to the fire. What about you, Jim?
I'm with you, but I'll take it a step further. I go back to 2006 and to 8, when you were both whippersnappers. remember the banks? Remember the mortgage company? Remember that mortgage company out there on in California that would give loans to people who shouldn't have them, but they didn't care. They'd make money and maybe replace a house. That was criminal, what they did. They basically did illegal things, also creating instruments that were bound to fail in the real estate market and then shorting against them. That was premeditated greed, which turned on them when we had the crisis, which was a result of all the over-leverage and so forth. So those people, they didn't have to say, oh, too bad for me. The government was frightened to death that we were going under. Now, with these people who were over-leveraged, were poor businessmen, trust me, none of these companies other than the banks thought the federal government would have to come in and bail them out. The pandemic created that, and so I don't know that I know specifically of any company or executive bemoaning his fate because of the pandemic. They're obviously saying, hey, we don't have customers. It's because of the pandemic. So I don't think that's an excuse.
Right.
If they have shareholders, they have to tell people what they see. That's all.
Right.
These are terrible times that we have here, and period. So we have to just get on with it and pull up our boots. And oh, by the way, as long as we're on this, there's a tremendous amount of stealing going on from the federal government to their pals who are in corporations. A lot of corporations that are in pretty good shape or not that bad a shape, they're getting a tremendous amount of money. Now, I can't give you an example. Why? Because the government refuses to give you a list of those companies, big, medium, and small, who are getting this largesse. This, once again, like the 2008 situation, will turn out to be one big royal screwing of everybody, but the 10 to 20%.
Right. And don't forget our favorite words here on Cover Your Assets. Moral hazard.
Cover your assets. Maybe you have to uncover your assets. Your biggest asset is you, Mr. and Mrs. out there.
Well, Mr. and Mrs.
If you keep your emotions intact and you focus on the prize, you'll get out of this thing and probably take advantage of it by some opportunity, small or large.
No, there is that. And there's also I'm noticing a happy. Again, it depends on people's attitudes, but there is an opportunity. Let's say that there's an opportunity to reconfigure certain things so that they are more to your liking, and whether that is people who were forced to flee the city, but are discovering that, you know, having a yard for their kids to play in, even by themselves, is not as hideous as they thought, maybe when they were living their very fast-paced life. It just depends on the generation that is experiencing that. And I go back to my biggest discovery when I came up here decades ago, was that I could park my car, my own vehicle, which of course I didn't have in the city because it's such a pain, I could park my car in my driveway without paying myself anything, like $700 a month. And I didn't have to call anybody if I wanted to get into it and drive someplace. It was a real life-changing event. And then when you start thinking, wow, lots of people have that experience every day. It's never occurred to them to pay $35 plus 20% tax an hour for an hour of parking. You start to see that maybe there are advantages, disadvantages. I'm exaggerating, but the fact is that one of the things that's been forced here is created is an opportunity to, again, reconfigure structural arrangements more to your liking.
Well said. I think it's a great example that you gave. Actually, you changed your lifestyle. You changed your financial being, saved money, and realized that in the process, you were giving yourself greater convenience and greater freedom and less of this, oh, God, I called that guy at the garage. I don't know if he'll maybe 30 minutes or whatever. Now, back to people with children, you know, my two married kids have little houses and they have backyards. And out in Indianapolis, they have been going out and camping overnight. These kids are 10 and 7, I think. And it's relieved somewhat the boredom, but it's a new experience for them. They weren't ready to go off to a regular camp anyhow, but this will give them an appreciation of what's out there. And, you know, what's out there are trees and insects and birds and life aside from the normal humdrum computer and traffic jams. So I'm certain people are taking advantage of that, but this is the reconfiguration. Also, our favorite topic, credit cards. People are going to understand now why young people like myself have been saying so much about get your credit cards down, okay? This is why you were supposed to get them down.
Right.
So now, if you had them down substantially and had a good credit line to go higher by a couple of grand or something, you could do that in this emergency. Rather, we've treated it as a cash-free card that, oh, we'll pay it off when we pay it off. I think those are two excellent examples. And you look within your family, because I think the family, unfortunately, over the years, has been growing apart. And I know now, you know, a lot of people are getting more back together with Zoom or actually driving 5 miles and standing outside of one another's house. The value of the human being, of the human condition, of the human family, I think is coming back to the fore.
No, I agree.
So,
can I just throw something? This is something that I am noticing that would be good to bring back while these other things are happening. If you want, it has to do with budgeting, and it sounds really moronic, but that's because I'm young, okay? I'm going to say this right up front. If it is possible people are being encouraged to just go cashless. Just press the button, hold the thing up. The money comes flying out of random place A and goes to random place B, and you never see it, and it's so convenient. You also have no control over it. None. Zero. All automatic this and automatic that. You have no idea what you're spending, practically speaking. And so if you're raising kids right now, it is so important to teach them the value of this weird, oops, I almost said a bad word, weird thing called cash, and what value you actually, like, what you can actually get for something. Because otherwise, there's zero concept. And I just wanted to see what you thought of that.
I wholeheartedly endorse no pressing the button for a couple of reasons. It makes us all vulnerable if, God forbid, we ever had an authoritarian regime in this country. They could control us through our bank accounts, control us through our phones, control us through the internet. Now, getting to the practical, children have watched their parents press the button. They have no idea, I think, what anything costs. I'm not talking about toys. I'm talking about food. So what I would suggest people think about regarding what Jill has put forth is to, at a certain age, create a little savings account, starting with the old-fashioned piggy bank,
yep,
and then get them a little savings account where they would just put whatever it is, the $2 a month or whatever. But the piggy bank would be used for, okay, Johnny, you say you want to do this and that. Let's see what's in the piggy bank. And out comes Johnny Habitab saved $9.90, a couple of dollar bills that Uncle Bill gave him, and a lot of change that he's been amassing in various ways. You take him to the store where he wants to buy whatever he wants to buy and say, okay, buddy, here you go. It's all yours. The kid gets it. He pays from his hand to the person behind the register. That will be an extremely valuable experience, which will be ensconced in that kid's consciousness, because he'll be so separate from the rest of people who are just doing what you're doing. What you're saying, then, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, and it'll be memorable, and it will be connective. And the great news is that 100 years from now, when you're not here, he's going to be having his kids do that for, you know.
Exactly, and you can look
cool
down
bit.
And say, thank God. Thank yeah. God I did something pretty good in my life.
I took care of that one. You don't have to worry about that one.
You see, I waited too long in my life. When I lived in Kingston, New York, I thought, and you could get, at the time, something brand new. You could get a balloon mortgage, okay, where it was very low, and then it would, at the end, it would be high. I bought three pieces of property, one on the Hudson River, and one in Midtown Kingston, one in Hurley, and I lived in the house in Hurley, and I rented the other houses, and my mortgage payment was something like, for all three houses, ridiculously low. It was something like $300 and some odd a month back then. But then, of course, we all know what happened to the interest rate. They went up to 20-some%.
Yeah, my first loan had one of those.
And,
oh, my God.
And I lost all the properties, and I had to declare bankruptcy. I learned, though, after that, because the one property on the Hudson River ended up selling 3 years later, 3 or 5 years later, for over $1 million because it had a beautiful view. I learned my lesson about investing and how to invest, not to invest in your own name to form corporations and stuff like that. So I learned money-wise the hard way. But I did learn my lesson from it. I didn't learn the lesson when I was young, but I learned it when I was young enough, so I didn't repeat it after my 20s anymore.
Well, what's good about it is you did learn it, but more importantly, you told us the story, which you've actually told us previously. Yeah. But it's more timely now, actually, because the people should become more sensitive to anything to do in terms of property or interest rates or whatever. It's not a silly game. Oh, the rate is this. Let me get that. Oh, so there it is. I mean, we've just discussed a number of points that we should have addressed while being in seclusion, but you can certainly address now. Going forward, things do have to change on so many different levels, and some of the huge levels vis-a-vis this country and all of us in it, and then for all each individual person, their family, and so forth. You know, life is for living, but it's also for learning, because learning is a joy, be it about finance or a book or the opera or whatever. So there we go.
All right. Well, we're out of time.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. These two hours passed so quickly.
Well, I want you to stay safe and healthy there, Jimbo.
I sure will. Listen, you young whippersnapper, you do the same.
Okay.
As well as you, Jill.
All right. Yeah. We'll speak to you next week.
You have
week,
a good
Jim.
One.
Take care.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio. You can also find him on the web, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch.